morning.
How's everyone doing this morning? All right. Well, let's open with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we can just come and worship you this morning. Again, we just thank you for the beauty of the day. The beauty of this week has just been amazing. Father, we just pray that you just give us a great day of worship this morning as we just join together. And Father, again, as always, we just long to hear from you this morning as we sing, as we sit in silence, as we hear your word spoken. Father, I pray that it would just speak to our hearts and nothing else. And so, Father, we just lift up our voices here in a moment to you, just from a place of praise, from a place of adoration, from a place of love. A place of just being overwhelmed by your many blessings that you give us every single moment. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship.
As a people, we won't be silent. We're gonna shout about everything you are,
our cry today, Lord. Blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be your name in all things, Lord. In every high and every low, Lord. May we always turn and give thanks and bless your name. May all glory and honor be rise to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Through the eyes of men, it seems there's so much we have lost. As we look down the road where all the prodigals have walked, and one by one the enemy has whispered lies and led them off as slaves.
Nothing knows you like God, yours is a victory.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy
breath we could ever breathe, we live for you.
Worthy of every song.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing.
Worthy of all the praise
we could ever bring.
Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe.
We live for you.
Strength I find to be my trials here.
trusting in my Father's wise bestowment. I no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is come beyond all measure is unto each day what he thinks best. Loving me is part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day
tomorrow. We're not guaranteed the next moment, Lord. But we thank you that we have the opportunity to live each moment for you. Live each moment to glorify you, Lord. That you are our hope. You are the one we look to. Living with you in eternity is our promise. May we treasure you as much as you treasure us, Lord. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. So I've been in this series on the communication. I've been hearing some interesting stories about communication that's been going on for the last couple of weeks. People are getting in, I don't know if I say trouble, but it's been interesting. And I've been interesting to see what Father has been speaking to me about. Every single week, it seems like whatever I speak about on Sunday, throughout that week, Father gives me an opportunity to practice what I've been preaching. So it's just been really interesting. And words are a funny thing. We were sitting around, as we always do, Sunday afternoon. We have our family get-together time at our house for as much as possible. Now that one of our kids is out of the house, the rest of the two are still there. But we still get together and just kind of have family dinner time. And so we were sitting around last week. And, Emily's starting to show a little bit more in her pregnancy. And I'm sitting there in the chair. And my grandson comes up to me and, power of words. He's like, "Are you growing something too?" I'm like, So Bubby needs to go on a diet. I was like, wow, dude. So anyway, yeah. Emily, I think she about had her kid. She was laughing so hard. She fell on the floor, and it was a good time. But it's always little words that come out of little people are always very humbling. They tend to repeat what we say. I don't know if you've ever had that happen to you. My children always ratted me out to Mom
when Dad got frustrated and said something he shouldn't have, and I walk in the house, and the mom's like, oh, I heard you say something. He rapped me out already. So they pay attention, they listen, and it's a good thing. So this last couple of weeks we've been, so the first week we're talking about, are we really communicating with what we say? And the next week, do we pay attention to the words that we say? And last week was, do our words judge and condemn? And it's really interesting, when we're really paying attention, we're given those opportunities to step into those moments. And I doubt I'm the only one that's had those moments in listening to Father, what he's been talking to us, that we've been paying attention maybe a little bit more to what we're saying to one another. I was having a conversation with my wife a little while back, and it was a good conversation. It was an intense conversation, but in the midst of that, I was looking, Father, what? Let me hear her. Let me hear what she's saying, and shut my mouth up to say only what you want me to say to her, so I don't hurt her. Right? And that, I mean, not that I don't ever try to live in that place, but it was a conscious thing. I was praying while she stepped out of the room for a moment. And it was just a really amazing thing. And it was still an interesting conversation that followed, but that overlay of this prayer that was uttered by a son going, man, I want to hear your daughter. And I want to speak words of life and not words of judgment or condemnation. And so it's just been a really interesting thing. And so as we kind of wrap up this mini series, because we could talk months on just words and the power of them. And I don't know if most of you may or may not know, but this is my last week for a while. Next week I'm going to be in Fairbanks speaking at our sister church up in Fairbanks at an ordination service for their pastor. So that's going to be a great time. And then the next 2 weeks, Dawn and I will be out of state. And then the next week, the fourth week, I'll be back, but the speaker for family camp will be here speaking. So you don't get to listen to me for like 4 weeks. It's going to be good. But Pastor Mike is going to be here, and it's going to be awesome. And so I know you guys will enjoy that. I know where he's going, and it's going to be really good with what he's speaking about. So this morning, it's been interesting. You know, this whole series, God kind of has laid out all the scripture ahead of time, and I've just been trying to stay disciplined to just the scripture he's given me, not go all over the place. And this morning is going to be really tough for me to stay, because there's so much in the passages we're going to look at. This one passage we're going to look at this morning. And I'm praying, and it's already been prayed this morning, that I just stay on what he wants me to say, not get sidetracked with all the other meat that's going to be in this one chapter. So as always, I encourage you, you'll probably get sick and tired of me hearing me say this to you, but I don't care. Go back, read just the chapter. You'll be there for hours, I promise you, and it's an amazing. So we are in Isaiah chapter 51 this morning. Isaiah chapter 51. Starting with the first three verses, Isaiah 51, listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you were hewn, to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father and to Sarah who bore you, for he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness. What does it look like to pursue righteousness? It's like, I mean, what does it have to do with words? Trust me, it does. Right? What does it look like for us to pursue righteousness? These are questions I'm just going to ask you this morning. I'm not going to answer them for you. Well, what does it look like for you to pursue righteousness? What does it look like for you to seek the Lord? And I love these statements, because to me it's like, if I'm not pursuing righteousness and if I'm not seeking the Lord, I almost guarantee you I'm not going to be listening. Am I? I'm not going to be able to hear the words of the Lord if I'm not pursuing his righteousness, if I'm not seeking his face. And if I'm not remembering, I love, this is one of my favorite verses, when I'm kind of discouraged and going, because this whole title of this morning's message, do we speak words from a place or a position of identity or of fear. Because it's one or the other. I can guarantee you by what comes out of my mouth, you'll be able to tell really quickly if you know me at all. If I'm speaking from a place of identity as a son, if I'm speaking from this place of pursuing righteousness, from this place of seeking the Lord, from this place of understanding the rock from which I have been hewn. I love that word. I mean, doesn't that just give you, I don't know, some of you may not have vivid imaginations. I do. I see things, right? So when I think about this rock from which I am hewn, this quarry from which I am dug. Man, yeah. Right? I mean, the word rock is used a lot in Scripture, right? What did you say about Peter? Upon this rock I will build my church. Right? Jesus is the cornerstone. Remember. This is our identity. And then he gives verse 3. This is a simple example. Look to Abraham, your father, and your Sarah who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. And we're not going to go into the whole life of Abraham. All right, but as I was going over that again this morning, Father always drops funny thoughts in my head. You want to talk about conversation? What was the conversation between Abraham and Sarah when he said, oh, God just told me to leave everything we know. You on board? Most women go, you're insane. You heard the devil. Right? They're not going to be like, you heard God. Unless they really trusted, that's what their husband heard. Right? This wasn't about like moving to another city. This was moving to a land you don't know. And then we know farther on in the story that, you know, when they're old, they're like, oh, you're going to have a kid. I'm going to multiply you and make you as numerous as the stars in the sky and sand on the seashore. Okay, crazy person. Right? I mean, that's not logical. That's the thing I think so often when we read Scripture, especially those of us who have been born and grew up in the church, we read these accounts and go, well, yeah, of course. Of course, that's how it goes, right? But what is it like for an adult that becomes a Christian and go, you're insane. This doesn't even make sense. But I love this all about this identity. Abraham obviously knew who he was. Obviously, Abraham, he had his issues, but he pursued righteousness. Righteousness. He sought the Lord. He understood the rock from which he was hewn and the quarry from which he was dug. He had to have had to do what he did and to follow where God told him to go and the experiences that he had. This place of identity is so important, and you've heard me speak over the years, identity, I'm all about identity. And as we look in just in the church today, there's so many brothers and sisters that have no idea who they are. And it's not even about family of origin. We can blame that, and there's lots of issues for there, right, when we have these messed up families that we come from. But my argument is, so what? And I'm not being critical of that. But we use that as an excuse to stay stuck and not move on with our life and hear what Father would have us do and do with our life. And not have this identity that he continues to speak over, and we're going to look at that here in a moment. This identity and say, this is who I am. This is who I am for you. And if you're smart enough and you're listening and you're seeking me, doesn't the scripture say, if you seek me, you will find me? Isn't that what it says? Yes. If we drop down to verse 7 of Isaiah 51, I love it how it just kind of ramps it up. First one says, listen to me, you who pursue. Verse 7, listen to me, you who know righteousness. The people in whose hearts is my law. Fear not the reproach of man, nor be dismayed at their revilings. I love when you read the scripture, watch the progression, listen to the ramping up of the word. And here it's like pursuing something is one thing, knowing something is a whole different animal. Is it not? When I'm pursuing the beginning of a career, I don't know anything. And hopefully I'm learning every day, right? I'm never going to arrive at a done place as a speaker or a pastor. That's never going to ever happen. You're always going to have somebody that bumbles and stumbles and is always pursuing how to do it better and be more articulate. That's always my struggle, right? But listen to me, you who know righteousness. So how do we know righteousness? How do we pursue it? How do we know it? The people in whose heart is my law. See, that ties into one. If we're seeking the Lord with everything we have, we're going to have in our heart his law, are we not? But again, it comes back to that point of the first word, listen. Listen. Listen to me, God says. Don't listen to the media. Don't listen to the newscasters. Don't listen to your friends that have whatever thoughts. I'm not saying don't have a conversation, but I'm saying if they're putting you in a place of fear, the words need to be discarded. Fear not the reproach of man, nor be dismayed at their revilings. Man, I don't know how many times I've fallen into this over times in my life, but some people are so controlled and so, their lives are so governed by what people think of them. And some of it can be from well-meaning, godly people. But at the end of the day, the only person we should be caring about who thinks of us is Father God. That's the only opinion we should value at all. I mean, I'm not saying we should just discount everybody else, but I'm saying at the end of the day, what does Father God think of me? And what is Father God saying about me? And what does Father God think of me? And what is he saying to me every single day in my time with him as I drive down the road, as I've taken time and I've carved out time in my busy day to spend time with my Father, who gives my source of power, by the way. I'm saying every single day that I don't take time out for God, my day usually turns into a disaster. And I'm skipping over a ton of amazing material here. So again, please go back and just read this one chapter. It'll mess up your world. Right? But so often we get fearful because we've forgotten who we are. And we've started listening to a voice that is not our Father's. And I know because we start here in verse 12. He starts getting good. I am he who comforts you. I am he who comforts you. Man, if we had nothing else, is that not enough? Because we try to find comfort in every other thing, person, or idea, and then we finally get on our knees and go, Father, please help me out. And he's like, dude, I've been here all along. Why do you wait till the last minute? Come talk to me. I am he who comforts you. And I love the next statement. Who are you that you are afraid? Who are you that you are afraid? Have you forgotten who I am? I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you are afraid, it goes on, of the man who dies? Who are we that we are afraid of the man who dies, of the son of man who is like grass, and have forgotten the Lord your maker? This is a pretty hard question. Who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and you fear continually all the day because of the wrath of the oppressor when he sets himself up to destroy? I laid the foundation of the earth, Father says, and you're afraid of this man that I created. Because he's reviling you, or he might be coming at you with some things, or he might throw you in jail, or he might, whatever he's going to do, he might even take your life. So what? That's all he can do. And I'm not minimizing our brothers and sisters around the world who are being tortured for Christ. I'm not minimizing that. But that pain they are experiencing is the worst it's ever going to get for them. And so often we as believers in our society and the freedoms that we've had in America, we get upset when things are taken from us that really are just an inconvenience. They're not a trial or a tribulation. We deem it so because it's made us an inconvenience, and we're fearful of these people, the wrath of the oppressor. Even if he can destroy us, oh well. Verse 14, he who is bowed down shall speedily be released. He shall not die and go down to the pit, neither shall his bread be lacking. Father's like, look, I got you. Speedily be released. I know we have God speedily and my speedily a lot of times aren't the same. I've been praying for things for years that still haven't come to pass. That doesn't mean God isn't speedy. Doesn't mean he's not going to answer it. It's just not in his time yet. Right? And it goes back, am I seeking the Lord or am I seeking my own agenda? Am I seeking what I think is going to be a good idea or am I seeking his thoughts? Do I want to pursue righteousness or do I know righteousness? And here's the thing, Father has never let me be without, neither shall his bread be lacking. Have you ever starved to death? Well, you're all here, so you haven't starved to death. But have all your needs been met? Has anybody needs ever not been met in this room? We have to define needs sometimes. People, well, I haven't gotten, is that a need or a want? Because Father gives us what we want a lot of times too, does he not? And more, absolutely. Neither shall your bread be lacking. Verse 15. I am the Lord your God. Get this imagery. Who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in your mouth. And covered you in the shadow of my hand, establishing the heavens and laying the foundations of the earth and saying to Zion, you are my people. There's lots of scripture of identity. I'm saying if we had nothing else but this few verses right here, would that not be enough? Look, man, I have a God who says he is my God. He laid the foundations of the earth and he said, I have put my words in your mouth. What do you have to be afraid of? But when you're trying to do it on your own and think you have no power, man, you're listening to the lies of the enemy. When he says, you got nothing, you're right, I got nothing, but I got everything in Christ. I got, right here, Father says, he puts his words in my mouth. And every single week when I get up here to speak, that's all I ever pray for is that his words come out of my mouth. I have given you my words. I put my words in your mouth. And I love this. And covered you in the shadow of my hand. Can you guys see that? Can you guys see just this monster shadow of a hand covering your life as you walk through this life you've been called to live? And everywhere that shadow is, man, there's freedom. There's power. There's protection. I don't know why I said this word came up as I was studying this week. It's like, all I can hear is like this room to play. We don't play very well as adults, by the way, I don't think. I was talking to someone this week as we were meeting and just talking about children and how you don't have to teach a child that miracles are a thing. You don't have to teach a child how to dream. They dream big. I think we discount things that children do and say, but man, there's been things that have come out of my grandson's mouth recently. That, you know, 4 years old, there shouldn't, it's like he's either seeing something or God's downloading something to him. Why? Because he's like, loved about, and he's cared for, and he's protected, and he's secure by broken human people. How much sore by us, by a Father who gives us his words to say, and we're covered by the shadow of his hand. If we stay within that shadow, life is amazing and beautiful and awesome and full of life. And I don't know why, because I have done this at times, when I step out of the shadow of his hand and I get scorched, right? Because I think I can do it on my own shadow. Come on. There's nothing there. But when I get to play in this place
of understanding. And it's just, I get to play in the shadow of my Father's hand who laid the foundations of the earth. And when he continues to say, you are my people. And more personally, you are my son. You are my daughter. You are whatever your name is. He calls you by name. He speaks to you so intimately. And so often we think Father God doesn't want to talk to us because we screwed up. And I'm saying over the years that I've been a father, my kids have screwed up. But I've never, ever in my life, as much as I've ever been disappointed or whatever, ever wanted to go, well, you're not my kid, get out of my house. There's never been a time when I've stopped loving my kids because of what they have done. And I'm a busted, messed up person. So I can't even, God can't, if I can be this way as a broken person, how much more can God do this? He's not going to ever say, you're not my kid anymore. I'm going to take my hand of protection off you. I'm going to take you out of the shadow of my hand. No, look, I laid the foundation of the earth, and you are always going to be my son and my daughter. If you stay within that place, a place of relationship. I continually need to hear this from Father. Continually say to me those moments that I step into things and I don't respond rightly or I don't have the right words when I communicate with my children or my wife or other people. I was like, why can't I get this right? Why can't I? And I don't want to be perfect, but I'd like to not mess up more than I mess up, right? And that will happen when I continue to pursue God. It will happen when I continue to understand who I am. It will happen when I continue living that mind-blowing reality that he spoke the world into existence. I know I use that a lot, but that just continues to mess up my mind. I was talking to someone this last week about those of you who garden, probably have had this experience, digging in the soil, planting stuff, you can almost feel stuff in that, can you not, or is that just me? There's something in the ground, I'm not trying to get all mystical, but there's just like, I believe, obviously, still the power of God resonating in his creation. He's continuing to try to show us, like, look, man, I'm here. I want you to step into these places. When you talk to people, we sang about that this morning. When we step into those moments, whether it's a husband and wife, or whether it's our children, whether it's our coworkers, whether it's a total stranger on the street, are we actively aware of, Father, what do you want me to say? How am I showcasing your life through my life? Because you are. But you can't speak from I pray that you're speaking from a position of identity and not fear, because there's lots of fear in the world. And it seems like it's just ramping up. And listening to people talk about all the things that are going on in our world today, it's really easy to get caught up in all that. So the church needs to stand up and say, we're not discounting all, we're not saying those things aren't happening, but here's the truth of the matter. Father God is still in control. He knew all this was going to happen before he even started this little ball spinning, right? He knew all this was going to happen. And he's ahead of us, waiting for us to catch up to him. He's got this. And the world desperately needs the church, needs us to stand up and speak hope and peace and love into their environment, because most of them have no idea what that even looks like. Some of them, people sitting in churches today don't even know what that looks like, because that's not being promoted. It's not being spoke about. Identity is everything. Because if we know who we are, we can hear the voice of the one that we belong to. always fascinated me. I think mothers have it more than fathers, at least in my case. Well, I know when our kids were little and they could be in a group of little children, Dawana could pick out the cries of her kids over others. I was like, how is it different? I just know. Oh, that's Emily crying, or that's Michael crying, or that's Zachary crying. In a group of children that are fussing. Because she's tuned in to the voice of her child. Not saying fathers can't do that. But I'm saying here's the whole point of it. Father God absolutely knows our voice. And he wants us to seek him so we don't have to live in fear of man. Don't have to live in fear of our circumstances. Don't have to live in fear of what's going on. We can live in this place of identity and victory. And I keep harping on that because I don't see that as much as I would love to see in our churches today. Because if we were living in that place, I think the world would look a whole lot different. Because we would have solid marriages. We'd have solid families. I'm not talking about perfection. But if the world can't look at the church and go, man, you got something different I want. But if it looks the same, what do we got to sell? And hear me, I'm not saying Jesus is a product. He's not. At all. He's a person to have a relationship with. A relationship will radically change our lives. Remember the rock from which you were hewn and the quarry from which you were dug. Remember. Listen. And play with a wild abandon in the shadow of his hand. That's what we're called to do. Let's pray. Father God, this morning I thank you for your word. I thank you that in these few verses this morning, we haven't begun to mine them for all they're worth. But I just love the reminder of who we are, our identity in you. That if we're in relationship with you above all things, you put your words in our mouth and we get to play, we get to operate, we get to live full lives, abundant lives, lives to the full in the shadow of your hand. I just love that picture. But it's more than a picture, it's reality. Father, I believe that life is so much greater than I have even begun to explore yet. So, Father God, this morning I pray to you for all of us that you continue to open our eyes to see and our ears to hear what you're doing. And we would step out in absolute, I don't know, it's beyond freedom. We don't think we can have words to describe what I'm trying to say. But this life of total abandonment of fear. Living this life that goes beyond everything that we even can begin to understand. So that the world might see, man, there's something different in the lives of people who have a relationship with the living God who laid the foundations of the earth. Who does the miraculous every day if we're paying attention. Father God, may we seek that. May we know your righteousness. May we have your laws just imprinted on our hearts so that we speak truth, your truth, every single moment of our lives. And may the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable to you. In Jesus' name. Doug and Diane, you want to take the slide for me? Brian and Emily, you want to do the slide for me? So I think most of you have been with us long enough, but our communion, we come up after I'll read this passage out of 1 Corinthians, and then just come on up and take the elements, go back to your seats, and just private time to take it for yourselves, and then we'll be dismissed after that. But I'm just going to read here out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So again, when you're ready, so the only we don't have, like, you don't have to be a member. So if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ this morning, please feel free to come and take the elements this morning. So come when you're ready.
Find me here.
So, Father, I pray that that's our heart cry this morning, that we surrender. We surrender everything that we are. We surrender our agenda. We surrender our ideas. We surrender everything to you for the sole purpose of wanting to know you more. And let you fill our mind and our thoughts with your thoughts and with your ideas and with your dreams and with your plans that you have for us. Because they are so much better. And at all times, remembering that we get to have this relationship because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. He paid for our sins once and for all. His blood covered everything. There's no sin that anyone could ever commit, no matter how vile, that your blood, Jesus, did not cover. And we get to live in the realization and the reality that you are alive and well, see at the right hand of the Father, continuing to tell him, I got that covered. Not that you've forgotten, Father, but Jesus keeps reminding you and keeps telling you, I covered that. Continue to intercede. And I know our minds can't even grasp what that even looks like or even begins to mean for us. But Father, I pray our heart above all things is that we surrender so we can know you more. Heartfelt gratitude is not enough to convey the reality that we get to have a relationship, that you want to have a relationship with us. Please thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.